brothers and sisters. It's wonderful to be back with you for the worship of God. Thank you for your warm hospitality. I should add a word of praise for Cynthia Haas, who is my point of contact with your office and who has been absolutely wonderful to work with. Whoever appointed Cynthia Haas to her work is a wise person. God's word comes to us this morning in Psalm 141, verse 3, and then in two verses from Proverbs and James chapter 3, six verses. Let's hear God's word. Psalm 141, "Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Proverbs 11, "A gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy person keeps a secret." And Proverbs 26, "Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down." And then in the New Testament, James at chapter 3 at verse 1, "Not many of you should become teachers, my fellow believers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Anyone who is never at fault in what they say is perfect, able to keep their whole body in check. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Heidelberg Catechism, question 12, 112. What is the aim of the ninth commandment? Answer, that I never give false testimony against anyone, twist no one's words, not gossip or slander, nor join in condemning anyone rashly without a hearing. Rather, I should love the truth, speak it candidly, and openly acknowledge it. And I should do what I can to guard and advance my neighbor's good name. Folks, I'm going to preach about gossip, and I'm going to preach about 20 minutes. No, I don't believe gossip is especially a problem here at Faith Community CRC, and that my job is to be your firefighter because the flames of gossip burn especially strong. No, I don't think that. But I'm a minister in the Reformed tradition. You are congregants in the Reformed tradition. The Heidelberg Catechism is our guide. And what it has to say about gossip is very important. Do not bear false witness. This means I should never give false testimony, twist no one's words, and not gossip. And no time like the present to think about gossip. So I said a couple of weeks ago, we've got these bitter political divisions, all kinds of charges and countercharges, and a set of social media that are absolutely ablaze with rumors and conspiracy theories and tall tales by various parties who love to inflame the passions of their fellow citizens. Maybe it's a good time for Christians of sober mind and decent intentions to take stock of a troublesome sin that flourishes all around us. Let's think first about what gossip is not. Simply talking about other people when they are not present is not gossip. We've all talked about other people outside their hearing, and it can be perfectly harmless. Say I talk to you about my friend George and disclose only that he has 3 kids and a dog, or that he drives a Toyota Camry, one of those hybrids, and that he loves it, or that he ran track in high school. Perfectly innocent things. Sometimes our talk about others when they are not present is just an information service. And sometimes it's a helpful information service. Suppose you are showing Doug around the office. Doug is a newbie, he's a new hire. So you introduce him to folks, you show him where stuff is, you explain a little about office culture, obvious stuff. And then at lunch, Doug asks if there is anything else he ought to know, and especially about getting along with the boss. And you say, look, the boss's deal with us is honesty. Talk to him straight. He can handle it, and he will appreciate it. Talk about other people may be harmless or maybe even helpful. You know, there are some terrific Christians out there. Some of us in this room are some of them, I'm sure. Terrific Christians who speak really well of others outside their hearing. They make a habit of it. They make a habit of revealing other people's secret virtues. They'll say, I know Jim sounds gruff, but you should know that underneath it, he's got a really tender heart. Terrific Christians who report on other people's virtues. They'll tell you how much a physician friend volunteers at a local clinic, or how tirelessly a son in the congregation looks after his sick dad, or how faithfully a business executive cares about the welfare of his employees. They spread the news about other people's virtues, and it's a good every which way. It stems the flow of bad news. It encourages people. It can be wonderfully contagious. What if we all started spreading good news about others? What if we all lifted up other people's virtues outside of their hearing? It would be Thanksgiving year-round. It would be a festival of joy, goodness and mercy following us all the days of our lives. And of course, the scripture writers knew all about this. That's why they tell us to encourage one another, to build each other up, to dwell on things that are honorable and of good report. But there's a certain way of talking about other people that the Bible doesn't like. It's the kind that causes harm, and the Bible calls it gossip. The problems with gossip, according to Scripture, are pretty obvious. Gossip is often false. It's often speculative. It starts rumors. It causes strife. Paul lists it among the things that tear churches apart: quarreling, jealousy, anger, selfishness, slander, deceit, disorder. Gossip has nasty company because it's a nasty habit. The tongue is a fire, says James. And as we know, fires are hard to control. Don't gossip, says the Bible. Don't gossip, says the Catechism. Let's think together for a little bit about why not. Well, first, gossip is damaging whenever it's false. Let me tell you a story from the history of the Christian church. In Italy, around Easter in 1475, a Franciscan preacher began a series of sermons. A 2.5-year-old boy from the community had gone missing, and the preacher claimed that the boy's body had been found in the basement of a Jewish home. In response, the bishop immediately ordered the city's entire Jewish community arrested. 15 of them were found guilty and burned at the stake. The story inspired surrounding communities to take similar actions. The Pope knew the story was false and tried to intervene, but it was too late. The story had spread too far, too fast. And the story reminds us that the tongue is a fire, and fires are hard to control. Second, gossip harms the gossiper. Suppose I'm at dinner with you, and I dish up something about a mutual friend named Lydia. What if I reveal to you that Lydia was once convicted of sexually harassing a neighbor boy? I think of it at the time as a juicy morsel, but it's actually a damaging secret. I have spread a damaging secret about Lydia to you, and it starts to gnaw on me that I did it. I wake up in the middle of the night, and I can't get back to sleep. I start revising my self-image. I start to think I'm a schmuck. But because I'm a schmuck with a conscience, I have now a mortifying assignment. I have to confess my sin to God. But even more mortifying, I have to confess to you that I should never have dished up about Lydia. I punctured Lydia's privacy, and it was wrong to do it. More mortifying still, again, if I have a conscience, more mortifying still, I have to confess my sin to Lydia. And you can imagine how hard this is going to be. Lydia, I'm ashamed to tell you that I let your secret out of the bag. I shouldn't have done it, but I did do it, and I'm sorry. Maybe Lydia will one day be able to forgive you, but I can see in her eyes that it will be a long time before she trusts you or me, if I'm the one who did it, again, either with her secrets or else with anything else. Bad enough if I confess to Lydia that I'm a gossip. But what if I lack the courage to confess to Lydia that I'm a gossip? And what if she discovers my treachery on her own? That's far worse. Now she knows not only that I'm a gossip, but also that because I didn't confess it to her, she knows I'm a coward. The tongue is a fire, and fires are hard to control. The only upside is that my confession to Lydia is so humiliating, so mortifying, that it will marvelously deter any of my future temptations to gossip, at least for a while. But this works only if I have a conscience. If I don't have one, my gossiping to others about Lydia just reinforces my belief that I'm entitled to say whatever I want to about others behind their backs. My gossip ends up hardening my own heart. Third, if I gossip to you about Lydia, I end up damaging you. Let's say you like and respect Lydia. If I tell you something scandalous about her, you can't believe it. Now you've got to completely revise your opinion of Lydia. Or if you don't like Lydia, and if I tell you something scandalous about her, you may relish it, and that's not good for you. What I'm doing is to help you enjoy Lydia's scandal. And that's terrible. That's what the Germans call Schadenfreude. It's joy over someone else's trouble, and it's a nasty emotion. If my gossip about Lydia triggers this nasty emotion in you, I have harmed you. In any case, if I gossip about Lydia to you, you start to wonder about me. You start to notice that I'm a tattletale. And you wonder how safe your secrets are with me. Maybe if I gossip about Lydia, I also gossip about you. And you become suspicious. You never were before, but now you're suspicious. Not only of me, but of anybody who tells you something confidential. The tongue is a fire, and fires are hard to control. My gossip may be false or speculative. It may harm me, the gossiper. It may harm you, the recipient. And finally, my gossip may harm Lydia herself. I have punctured Lydia's right to privacy. Each of us has a little bubble of privacy that God gives us because we are persons. Part of our personhood to have our privacy. Lydia tells me about her conviction some years ago. She chooses to tell me, but not you. But I ignore her choice, and I tell you too. I puncture Lydia's bubble of privacy, exposing Lydia's secret out to you and to anybody you may tell and to anybody else that they may tell, and on until the whole neighborhood is ablaze with discussion of Lydia's shame. The tongue is a fire, and fires are hard to control. Worse, if I tattle to you about Lydia and you dish to others about her and they to still others, Lydia's reputation is going to take a big dent. Walking around town with her dented reputation, Lydia can't understand why people now avoid her. Or look at her funny. Or don't trust her, or don't laugh at her jokes anymore. Lydia doesn't understand why everybody is so chilly to her now. You're her best friend, so she asks you, what's going on? What's happened? Do you know why everybody is so chilly to me these days? And now you're in a bind, aren't you? If you tell the truth, You have to admit to your friend that you betrayed her and you damaged her reputation, or you lie and say, I don't know. And then you go to bed that night aware that you are not only a gossip, but also a liar. Friends, God has created us so that our human speech is powerful. We can use it to calm people, to encourage people, to thank them, to bless them, to pray to God with them. Or we can use our speech to burn people, to harm their reputation, to incinerate their good name. No wonder James says that the tongue is a fire. The problem for us Christians who want to discipline our speech is that gossip is everywhere, and is everywhere in a secular society, is everywhere regarded as normal or harmless, or maybe a little naughty, but in any case, very entertaining. TV talk shows, reality TV, social media, playgrounds at school, family dinners, workplaces, churches, college dorms, countless other venues where people gather, all of them teem with gossip. National politics is a bonfire of gossip. Gossip is everywhere, and it's not a trivial sin. If I commit the sin of gossip, I start fires, and fires are hard to control. And so if I gossip and I know I have done it, what I need to do is to own up to what I've done, to confess it, to repent of it, to shun it, to be done with it, just as we did in that wonderfully written prayer of confession that we all shared in this morning. If I say I have no sin, I deceive myself and the truth is not in us, but if I confess my sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me, because Jesus Christ the righteous has made atonement. Brothers and sisters, I've come to Faith Community CRC this morning really to say just one thing: to hell with gossip. It doesn't belong on the lips of any one of us. If we do it, we have to confess it and then resolve to discipline our speech. All because the tongue is a fire, and fires are hard to control. Let us pray. Guard my lips, good Lord, for everybody's sake. Guard my lips in your holy name. Amen.